This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN App, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. L.A., you see this Jared Dudley, Paul George beef? Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Jared Dudley says the Lakers were motivated by disrespectful, that's a quote, comments from Clippers' Paul George. In his new book, Jared Dudley revealed his team was primed for the Battle of L.A. because of Paul George. Quote, we hear some of those guys talking about how they're the team to beat in L.A. Dudley co-wrote the book with Carvell Wallace. Co-author, I suppose you'd say. It's a 42-page book entitled titled Inside the NBA Bubble, A Championship Season Under Quarantine. It was released this week. Here's a quote. It's fine if Kawhi says stuff like that. He's defending a championship. We don't trip if someone like Patrick Beverley is talking trash. That's how he feeds his family. We get it. We respect his hustle. But we think it's disrespectful for Paul George, who hasn't won, put himself on the level of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. This motivates us. Paul George responded by saying, God bless him. God bless you, Jared Dudley. I don't know what it is. Dudes love throwing my name and stuff, but God bless you, Jared. This apparently goes back, the beef apparently goes back to a tweet that Paul George sent out when Paul George was still in college, I think, saying he thought Jared Dudley was funny looking. He said he respects his game, but he thought he was funny looking. I don't know. Look, some dudes are funny looking. I love Sam Cassell. Sam Cassell's a great dude and a great player. Was a great player, and he's going to be a great coach. Sam Cassell, when he first came out, I'm like, the dude looks a little like E.T. Like, I have to say it. I'm sorry. I'm sure I look like, you could say I look funny or whoever looks funny, they remind you of something, whatever. But Paul George thought Jared Dudley was funny looking. So what? Jared Dudley didn't take kindly to that, apparently. By the way, Jared Dudley's a real good dude. I ran into him in New York at, I think our daughters were dancing in the same program, like some dance program in New York. So everyone, you know, there was the performance and everyone was there. I saw Jared Dudley there. A real nice guy, smart guy. I don't understand the logic exactly here, considering, you know, like, I guess he's saying Patrick Beverley, he is who he is. He trash talks, and he's not a superstar, so that's part of his whole thing, and that's okay with them. And Kawhi, because he's got his bona fides, he's a champ. Paul George, they don't respect the same way. And maybe Dudley has a grudge, a personal grudge with Paul George. But I got to say, I hear this a lot, that the Clippers team, whatever faults of Kawhi Leonard, where he, you know, got certain special treatment and he wouldn't practice or he wouldn't tell them when he wasn't going to practice and all this stuff. Kawhi's a two-time finals MVP. If Paul George is getting the same treatment as Kawhi, first of all, Kawhi's a little better than Paul George under normal circumstances. Kawhi is like, he's an MVP caliber player in the regular season. Now, not quite the very, very best, but he's right there, maybe a quarter step behind, you know, the MVPs. But then in the playoffs, he plays it. He elevates to beyond almost anyone. So yeah, he choked in Game 7 this year against the Nuggets, but it was after a magnificent playoff performance throughout. And by the way, he was Finals MVP last year and was the best player in the playoffs by far in the NBA. Paul George hasn't done that. Paul George is not quite Kawhi Leonard in the regular season, and unlike Kawhi, who elevates in the playoffs, Paul George kind of deflates. I mean, even if he just stayed who he normally is, I think that'd be all right, but he doesn't. He gets worse. Now, a worse version of Paul George is not a bum. A lesser version of Paul George is still an above-average starter. But if you move heaven and earth to put these two on the same team, and Kawhi, for the most part, is holding up his end of the bargain, then being an above-average starter in the playoffs ain't good enough. You need to be a superstar. In the regular season, Paul George is the next thing to a superstar. You can't be worse than that in the playoffs. And I think if he's getting special treatment on the team, maybe that's what's rubbing some people the wrong way, on the Clippers and in the league, maybe. I got to say, by the way, Paul George also, I've interviewed him a couple times, real nice guy. And everything I hear about him in terms of like people who we, you know, mutual acquaintances of ours, have very nice things to say about Paul George. Sometimes two good people just rub each other the wrong way. Natural enemies. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes I think some people are natural enemies. In your own life, you can think about this. So you get along with some people and other people, even when you're trying to get along, you're just natural enemies. Sometimes like your interests are opposed to someone else's interests. And so you're kind of butting heads. But you know that's only because we're fighting over this bone, right? Like two dogs over a board, or our interests are not aligned. But sometimes you just run into someone and say, nope, I don't, something about them rubs me the wrong way. Paul George and Jared Dudley just rub each other the wrong way. I mean, starting when Paul George said he can't even look at the guy. Lakers, by the way, return to the court tonight versus the Nuggets, who, by the way, prevented the Western Conference Finals we all wanted to see. And then, like, think about the Lakers against the Nuggets. The Nuggets felt like an avalanche waiting to happen, waiting to fall on your head if you're the other team. And I'm watching the Nuggets and the Clippers, and it just always felt like no lead was safe. And here comes the Nuggets, and their win felt inevitable by the end. Like, yeah, how do you stop that? Two guys playing like that? Their two best players play like that? One of the all-time... Jamal Murray had an all-time great playoff performance. All-time. Not many players have ever played better than that in the playoffs. And then and you have Jokic, who was also, like, amazing. I just felt like here it comes. But when they played the Lakers, and they were hanging around in a couple games, and you're like, oh, here it comes, like with the Clippers. No, it didn't happen. LeBron knew what to do and when, and AD was you know, terrific. And Jokic and Jamal Murray were no match for LeBron and AD, but they were more than a match for Kawhi and Paul George. NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as LeBron and the Lakers host the Nuggets, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
What Thomas Edward Brady has done in his 40s just flat boggles my mind.
How can you just put on another jersey and wind up in the same situation, which is another Super Bowl appearance?
Well, one reason is you have a defense that's balling out of control all three levels. You have so many receivers that Antonio Brown doesn't even make headlines, even when he's healthy playing for your team. You got name brand running backs who still have something in the tank. You got an offensive line that's played elite throughout the season. Like, Tom Brady deserves credit, but man, he deserves as much credit for assessing the NFL and saying, there, that team is ready to win right now. The way Floyd Mayweather picks opponents. That dude, I'm going to fight Canelo right now. He's too young. He can't do it yet. I'm going to wait on Pacquiao. Now I'm going to fight him. The way LeBron James surveys the landscape and goes, okay, Cleveland got another number one. They can package that for Kevin Love. They already got Kyrie. I'm going to go there. I'll go to the Lakers. They got enough to pull the trigger on an AD deal. I'm going to go there. Part of greatness at that level is being able to assess the situation. Two-time Pro Bowl running back, Devontae Freeman. Oh, did he hook me up on DraftKings a couple years ago. Oh, I rode Devontae Freeman to whoop up on Raj and Marcellus Wiley all year that year. Here he is on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. What's up, Devontae? Thanks for all that draft, all those DraftKings wins, Devontae.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. Devontae, let me ask you something about my New York football Giants to start. I was very disappointed in Daniel Jones this year. I know it's a COVID year. I know Saquon lets a lot of people do a lot of things, and he wasn't available. But Daniel Jones, year two is supposed to be the development year. Devontae, I didn't see it. Can Daniel Jones take the next step?
Of course, I love Daniel. Like he's that type of athlete. He's that type of competitive guy. Smart kid, come in every single day, and he's about his business. And with that type of mindset, with that type of aiming point towards your approach when it comes to this game and this business, you're gonna have nothing but success. Of course, you're gonna have, you know, good years, bad years. It's just like the stock market. You know, you're gonna have ups, you're gonna have downs. You know, but, you know, the overall career average got to, you know, be good. And I think that's what's going to happen with Daniel Jones. He's so determined and a competitive guy, and he just want to win on all levels. So I definitely see a lot of improvement in his near future.
Talking to Devontae Freeman, speaking of name brand running backs, and he's a free agent at the moment. Devontae, I had Jalen Waddle on the show yesterday, and I'm my beloved New York Football Giants. Boy, they could. I mean, he could be there at 11 when they pick. What do you like when you look at the Giants roster? What do you think they need?
They so young, and a lot of guys haven't developed yet. They're just good all around. It's hard because if you look at the backfield, you got Wayne, you got Saquon, you got Daniel at the quarterback position. So to me, the backfield is pretty sold up. The offensive line guys, young. Mm-hmm. So my thing would be more so not what they need, just what they need to develop and have all the guys play on the same page and be as one, get to that level. And, you know, the sky's the limit for those guys, you know.
It's a good point about development because so much of it, it's not just drafting. It's drafting and development. Good teams can get stuff out of everyone they draft. You know, they can get something. There's a reason they drafted them. And bad teams can take talent and waste it. It's a good point. What do you think is the best landing spot for Deshaun Watson?
That's a good one. I don't know. Somewhere where I feel like someone want to build a program around him, or some place that's need exactly what he provides and gives. And but it's hard to see, you know, hard to say. Football is football. All 32 teams, I mean, it's 100 yards, sideline to sideline. Plays are the same. So I'm pretty sure the uniform and the color ain't going too much determine or dictate his success on the field. So I'm just excited and enjoying the process.
Devontae, when you look at the Bucs and the Chiefs in this Super Bowl and you look at their running games, I know the Chiefs are missing both their offensive tackles. When you look at the running game, so that means the offensive line and the run blocking and the backs, who do you think has the advantage in the Super Bowl on the ground?
When it comes to the running game?
Yep.
Maybe the Kansas City Chiefs.
Even without their tackles?
Like they have. Yes, because you got so much to defend. Uh-huh. You have so many. I feel like the Chiefs' running games aren't as super dominant as like a run first, you know, offense. Of course, because they got all the all stars outside, out wide.
Mm-hmm.
And because you got to defend that and stop that, I feel like they're gonna that softens the box up, the box. But, you know, you got those defensive linemen with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're so dominant. You know, you got Sue and those guys, those veteran guys. They've been there and done it before. So it's going to be a good challenge. But I think because you have to defend so much on the outside with Kansas City, explosive offense, just got to pick your poise. And I'm pretty sure going into this game, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm thinking how to stop number 10. Number 87, and number 17.
Right. And by the way, and the Chiefs are the kind of team, like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, you got to pay extra attention to them. You can't single cover Tyreek. You're going to have to do something about Travis Kelce. And then they're the type of team where if you give it to them, they'll take 5, 6, 8 yards on the ground if you give it to them, and they'll do that all game if you give it to them. Devontae Freeman, before I let you go. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to just say, but if you look at the consistency that these guys provide eight-yard runs and stuff like that, they do it all the time, and it's just because they got so many chances and time to make explosive plays.
Yeah, more space. So. Devontae, real quick before I let you go, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's going to win the Super Bowl. Why?
Perfect pitcher. Perfect way to go out. Not even if he ain't going to retire or nothing like that, but, I mean, look at the story. Both of the great quarterbacks. You got the young GOAT and you got the older GOAT. You got Tom
old
Brady.
Old GOAT over young GOAT,
you got
huh?
The future Tom Brady. You got the future Tom Brady.
Right.
You know, and this is going to be a hell of a story. Maybe my last Super Bowl, because my last Super Bowl win was against, you know, maybe the best quarterback to ever play the game of football. He's a young guy now, but maybe, who knows? The sky's the limit for him. So, I don't know. It's going to be a story. I'm excited to see. I played against Tom Brady, and it's hard to go against him. So, in the Super Bowl, so it's going to be something to see. I'm excited.
Devontae, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it, man. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. My guest, Devontae Freedman, joined me on the Goodyear Hotline. Raj, remember I used to ride Devontae that year? Was this 2015 or 16? Oh, was he giving me DraftKings points?
I think you were the first one to ride that train.
Oh, yeah. Devontae Freedman was balling out of control.
He was a dual threat. Catches out of the backfield, this and that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The thing is, Atlanta had a couple of running backs, but like Devontae wasn't the only guy in that backfield. So you were tempted not to take him, but he was catching passes.
Coleman was putting up numbers too.
But Devontae was catching passes. He's all right. That's why I'm the draft king and have the most points in the history of our fantasy.
I'm fine being a draft queen. There's money in that too. I got money in being the draft queen. $13
Raj is the commissioner of the league, so somehow he arranges it. When he comes in second place, it's not winner take all, but when he comes in first, it's always winner take all somehow. Scott in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, how you doing, Max?
Good, Scott.
Max, I just wanted to ask you, what do you think race is involved in the way Deshaun Watson is being vilified for asking for a trade and the way Matthew Stafford has been treated?
Well, I actually don't think Deshaun Watson's being vilified. Like, you have a couple of, like, Brett Favre and Dick Vermeil, at least according to everything I've read and heard, they've been criticized more for taking the stance that they've taken than I've heard criticism of Deshaun Watson. I think most people know. If Deshaun Watson has a problem with the organization, or let me flip that around. If you drafted Deshaun Watson and now he already wants to leave your organization, that ain't on him, that's on you. Deshaun has a sterling reputation. So I do think race is involved in terms of, or like people like Brett Favre and Dick Vermeil may want to be a little more racially sensitive in their analysis, meaning they see it as a labor issue. Hey, you're the hired help. Keep your head down and work, just as Brett Favre once was, right? So I understand that. But I would point out to them that 70% of the on-field workforce is black and 0% of the owners are black. So if your point of view is labor just needs to know their place, then what place does that put black folk in the NFL? And it is racial, in that, by that way of thinking. There's a big overlap with labor and race issues. By the way, you can hear from the latest person to be disappointed in Deshaun asking for a trade to that caller's point. We're going to talk about that coming up. This is the big one. The last game of the football season is this weekend. A game this big deserves a big prize, not just some trophy. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 55, has up to $55 million in total prizes up for grabs with their Super Bowl prediction pool. All you have to do is get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free prediction challenge. That would be challenge in English. Challenge, not challenge. I don't know what a challenge is. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. Download the app now. Enter the free prediction challenge. Answer questions like who'll score last and boom. Get ready to make it rain. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code MAX to enter the free $55 million prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So use promo code MAX now and enter the free $55 million prediction challenge. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Who's the latest to be disappointed in Deshaun Watson? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Some folks just aren't okay with Deshaun wanting out of Houston. Hit me up at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Join me. Who am I? What am I? Who am I sitting here with? Brendan is Raj or wherever they are, Connecticut and Los Angeles. I'm sitting by myself in a freezing cold studio. These are the COVID days. Folks keep piling on Deshaun Watson for requesting a trade. Brett Favre said, you get paid a ton of money to do a certain job. You just do it and let the chips fall where they may, according to Yahoo, courtesy of Yahoo. Listen to Brett Favre say it, because now in this clip, he doesn't say we get paid a lot of money. There's another quote where he said we get paid. So he's including himself in it. And I think that's significant. But listen to what Favre said.
You get paid a ton of money to do a certain job and just do it and let the chips fall where they may. I think we make too much money to voice an opinion, but I'm not saying he's wrong. I think it's a different day and time, and it'll be interesting to see how the organization handles it.
What Favre said was not so bad. He said you at first, and then he said we. He said we get paid, so he's including himself. And what he means is, and when he said, look, it's a different day and time, he sees that athletes, even in the NFL, because it's always been that way, or seemingly more that way in the NBA, athletes have more leverage in the NBA, guaranteed contracts, and more than that, fewer people on the court. You play offense and defense, one superstar can make your team in the NBA, more sway over the fortunes of your team than anyone in the NFL, including quarterbacks. But recently, we've seen quarterbacks in the NFL kind of take a page from the NBA playbook, player's playbook. Hey, we have some leverage here. Quarterbacks are extremely important, and the best ones have a lot of leverage. And so Favre says, personally, he doesn't love that, but he's not saying Deshaun's wrong. It's a new time and everything, and he said, we get paid too much. Favre may see himself as the hired help. That's his prerogative. And technically, it's true. The players are not, their job description is not calling shots in the front office, but what does that have to do with anything in reality? In reality, extremely valuable employees have leverage. And employees as a group, as a union, have leverage. So Favre said we. And okay, that's the jumping off point. Now listen to what Dick Vermeil, former head coach of the greatest show on turf, Super Bowl winning head coach, beat the Tennessee Titans, 99, said on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning.
Well, I'm a little disappointed, to be honest with you, because, you know, the image that he has presented coming out of college and through the draft and through his career so far in Houston has been so positive. And I don't think this approach really reflects what he has presented over the past few years. So I'm disappointed, you know, and I just don't think we can, anybody, whether it be that football team or the other 31 teams, start allowing players to step in and make decisions who runs them, who coaches them, and all these kinds of things. And I used to ask players about coaches and stuff like that, that they had worked for on other teams and that kind of stuff, just to get insight, but not to, and actually to add to my education and knowledge about people, but to get to the point where you're sort of demanding you want to say, I think is beyond the NFL player's contract.
Now, let me say that football's a military game. Remember the old George Carlin, the late, great George Carlin, great comedian, had a stand-up routine talking, you know, where he touched on this. Baseball, a 19th century pastoral game. You're running home where you're safe. There's no time limit. It's like, you know, versus the 20th century industrial kind of military game, football, a gridiron and a blitz, you know, blitzkrieg and, you know, all that aerial assault and all this. A bomb, you throw bombs, you know, it is. It's a military game. And it has its roots in the Ivy Leagues, actually, where the deans got together and said, boy, let's make this thing better. And they literally, consciously decided to improve soccer. And by the way, in West Point, and in the military, it's a very, it, like the chain of command is very important. Oh, we have Carlin sound? Okay, here's George Carlin on football.
Baseball begins in the spring, the season of new life. Football begins in the fall when everything is dying. In football, you wear a helmet.
In baseball, you wear a cap.
Football is concerned with downs. What down is it?
Baseball is concerned with ups. Who's up? Are you up? I'm not up. He's up.
Well, we decided to play the worst part of that, but he goes on to talk about how military and industrial football is.
Wait. You and B, the only reason B has this is because Brendan thinks this is funny, too. I just heard that whole – you guys think that's funny?
It's not ha-ha, laugh-out-loud funny. It's just interesting, although not that
It's not
funny.
Even laugh-inside funny.
Okay. By the way, a lot of stand-up is like that. A lot of stand-up, what you do is it's making you think about things and you give it charitable laughs. Very few stand-up comedians can have you, like, guffawing. But anyway, so Dick Vermeil talking to Sean Watson and wanting the chain of command and wanting the worker to stay in his place, know his lane, is, you know, Favre and Vermeil may just be coming at it from a point of view of someone who feels like that's the way things should be organized. It's really a labor versus management versus ownership issue. But there's a huge racial overlap that I don't think they're being sensitive to. The league is over 70% African-American players. Those are the workers. It is 0% owners. No black owners. So if the point is that the workforce should know its place, not opine, not try to use any leverage they might have to affect their destiny, and just do their job, the opining and the decision-making, everything, that's up to ownership. What they're saying is, what does that mean if you're African-American? It means you have no say. And you shouldn't even try to leverage your own position to get a hold of your own fate. No. That's not for you. There's a big overlap racially here. And Dick Vermeil, I just want to read you a quote. It's from PennLive.com. It's a recent interview where he was asked, did race relations occur to him as part of his job at Stanford? This is in the 1960s. He said, it was in our minds at Stanford in the mid-60s. There was starting to be a revolt with black athletes, especially track athletes. And then he was asked, how did he treat that revolt? He said, well, I was young and didn't know what I know now. I probably was a little critical, thinking the scholarship athlete should be a little more appreciative of their opportunity and express it that way. But remember, I'm 83 years old, so I grew into our society as it is today, starting way behind where we are. In other words, he came from a time and a place where he wasn't familiar with he wasn't sensitive to the idea of racial oppression and what that means and its implications. But he grew to understand it better. And I would have to think his comments about Deshaun Watson now, which seem blind to the overlap of labor issues and racial issues, are, you know, Dick Vermeil just not kind of sensitizing himself or considering all the factors before he made his comment. I'd like to think if this is someone who admitted he's grown throughout his life, he can learn and grow still. Even at the age of, 83, 84 now? But, you know, maybe he's considered everything and he and I just disagree. Coming up, who's smarter than Max? That's a ridiculous question. No one. The latest 30 for 30, Al Davis versus the NFL. I'm the smartest. I just can't say the word 30. Looks back on the long-running feud between Raiders owner Al Davis and the NFL commissioner, Pete Rozelle, two of the most influential figures in the history of pro football. Beginning in the mid-1960s, when Rozelle was the NFL's young commissioner and Davis led the rival AFL, and continuing through the 1980s, when Davis waged a lawsuit against the league that allowed him to move the Raiders from Oakland to Los Angeles, the two titans were constantly and very publicly at odds. The latest 30 for 30 Al Davis versus the NFL premieres tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. And immediately following its debut, check out Jalen and Jacoby, the After Show podcast, where the guys will be joined by director Ken Rogers. Listen and subscribe to Jalen and Jacoby, the After Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Who's smarter than Max?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, you have a chance to play Who's Smarter Than Max throughout the show tomorrow. Really, Raj? When are we doing that? Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
All That's right. You'll have a chance to go against you, maybe B, Brendan. But just for the record, B is up 2-1, so this is a chance for you to tie things up, Max.
Brendan and I were talking during the commercial break. Everyone playing along in their cars are like, this is easy. Yeah, there's no pressure on you.
Yeah, well, the pressure will be on them tomorrow, guys. You can call throughout the show. We're going to try and do it as much as possible and involve you, the people.
And the only reason I'm winning is because I got guacamole right.
Yeah. That is true.
What I say, cheese dip?
Cheese.
Salsa? I don't know. Raj, we once did one on Thanksgiving, and I think I said, like...
Yes, that's what I was going to.
What were you going to say?
I said the most, maybe the 10 most popular, you know, dishes, foods on Thanksgiving. You know, it's all kind of stuff. Max said corn.
Well, to be fair, it was like my third answer, but yeah, I don't know. I said like stuffing and then potatoes, and then I ran out.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah,
so,
mac
so
and cheese.
He doesn't do very well.
You know, Marcellus was guessing too. Go ahead.
Well, he's a big boy. He kind of nailed that one. But hey, let's start with something you might be a little better at. Super Bowl stuff. So, guys, can you name me the head coaches? Now, pay attention. Head coaches that have won 3 or more Super Bowls, I believe. Let's see. Max, Brendan, Max. B, you go first.
3 head or coaches. More. Okay.
3 as a head coach.
As a head coach.
Yeah, no writing it down, no looking it up. Let's go.
I'm going to start with Bill Belichick.
That's a good guess. He's got 6 of them. That's a good one. Boy, you're all right. You know how to play this game. Max?
Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh has 1-3 with the 49ers. That's right. What do you got there, B? It's your turn, Brendan. This is where you answer.
Chuck Noll.
Chuck Noll is 1-4. Good job.
Now I'm out. Now I think I'm out. Hold on.
Should I give you a hint?
It has to be. No, wait a minute. It couldn't be Landry because they only have 5. Jimmy
That's
Johnson
right.
got 2, and Switzer had 1. So I just got to start thinking of franchises.
Yeah. I'll give you a hint. This coach has done it with 3 different quarterbacks.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
Start the
Super
clock.
Super Bowl.
5.
Uh-oh. 4. I mean, it's 3, not going to be this, but Bill Parcells.
2. No.
Not Parcells. I know it's not Parcells. It's 2. I know.
Play on championship music, baby.
Who is the other coach?
The Washington football team, Joe Gibbs.
I was going to say that. Why do you ever let me get a steal in? Come on.
No, you already won. I said play your music. This is a different one. Yeah, you won. You're
champion.
Fine. You're fine. Yeah, you're the champion. Good job, man.
Once Brendan took Chuck Noll, I was done. I didn't even know there were more than 3.
Yeah, there were 4 Gibbs. And he did it with 3 different quarterbacks. Mark Ripken, Doug Williams, and Thiessman. There you go.
That's right.
You're right.
That's right. You changed your name to rhyme with Heisman, and it worked.
Hey!
That was smart.
All right. Congratulations. Well, we'll do it tomorrow with the callers.
Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, there are 30 NBA basketball teams, right?
Okay. Yes.
By my estimate, only eight can possibly win the title.
Lakers.
The 2 LAs, Denver Clippers. And Utah in the West, and in the East, Brooklyn, Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly.
I don't think Utah can win.
So you think 7?
I don't know if Denver could win either. Maybe. I would say in the East, Philadelphia and Brooklyn. I don't think Milwaukee. I don't think Boston.
You think there are only 4 teams?
Yep. By the way, Richard, most years there's only 2 or 3 teams that you really think can win. You know, I got to be honest. I don't see Utah. I don't see Boston. And I don't see Milwaukee. Nope. The freak needs more. Now, if Bradley Beal gets traded, we can revisit the topic. Anthony in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, let me ask your opinion on something. What's the point of the home team playing all year to be the first one in 55 to have the home field advantage?
No fans.
And they're telling us we can't fire the cannons on the ship? What kind of mess is that?
Well, look, the mess is a pandemic, a global pandemic. I don't know if you noticed it, but hundreds of thousands of Americans have died of this already. So, like, you just can't do it. Look, I'm amazed that the NFL is at the final game. It's amazing that they got through to the final game. And things just, you know, you got to accept that the perfect is the enemy of the good. It ain't going to be perfect, But I agree, man. It's all kinds of messed up. The first time in history, the home team is in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is being played in a team's home stadium. They're in the game, and they ain't going to be fans. It's not going to be like it normally is. By the way, you should tune in tomorrow because we have Super Bowl Friday, and I got Ice Cube on the Max Kellerman Show ESPN Radio. Sinan Golic Jr. coming up. Peace.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.